listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor of the U Bible Study, and joining me today is our Content Editor, Christina Zimmerman. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. It's good to be with you in this spring 2021 study. I'm so excited about it. It's a theological bent, and the title is The Essentials of Christianity. You know, there are a lot of world religions out there, and they are worlds apart on their beliefs and their worldviews. Many people think it doesn't matter, but it does make a difference, both now and for eternity. This study is going to look at the core truths that are central to our Christian faith. Now, the first lesson is called The Nature of God. This study is centered around the Trinity. Christians have struggled with this doctrine for thousands and thousands of years, but this lesson will help us to embrace the truth that God is indeed, in essence, three distinct persons. Okay, Mark?
All right, so the point of our lesson today is that God has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's go ahead and read the first portion of John 14, verses 8 through 11. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been among you all this time, and you do not know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. And so the first section is to know the Son is to know the Father. And it just sounds like what people would say sometimes. They look at us and say, well, you're just a chip off the old block. You know, you're just like your parents. And that's what Jesus is really saying to his disciples right now, that if you've seen me, this is the Father. This is what the Father looks like. And so people are always, this is what I would think, trying to discover who God is and where I can find him. And so here, he gives Philip an answer, and it's our answer. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What are you thinking about that, Christina?
Absolutely, Mark. You know, many Christians are just like Philip. We want to know God, but we have failed to recognize him in his own Son. So the real question for me related to knowing who God is just to know who Jesus is. That's told in the New Testament. The story of Jesus is told throughout the New Testament. He's holy, he's humble, he's loving, powerful, merciful, relational, forgiving, good, and so many more attributes define him. Everything that Jesus is, God is. Jesus is the invisible image of our invisible God. Okay, Mark.
So one of the things that I see here is that Jesus gives three reasons in this particular passage on why we ought to believe that he is that when you see him, you see the Father. He said, one, because of my walk. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The second is because of his words. He said, the words I speak to you, I don't speak on my own. It's the Father. These are the Father's words. And the third, because of his works. He says at the end, otherwise believe because of the works themselves, the mighty miracles that he has done that no person could do except the Father be in him. And so he gives us three great reasons why we ought to believe that he is indeed the Father. When you've seen him, that's all there is. In fact, John in this book starts in the very beginning and says in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the whole reason that Jesus came into the world, put on human flesh, and lived successful life is because he is showing us who the Father is. Any other thoughts on that, Christina?
Now, Mark, this fills me with awe to know that we have this person who was showing us who God was. And that brings me closer, ever closer to God, because I have a tangible representation of the God that I serve.
All right, so we go one step farther now in section number two. And that is, to have Jesus is to have the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 16 through 20. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. And so because the Father, he says first in the first section that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so in this second section, he wraps it all up together and reminds us that to have him is also to have his Holy Spirit. What are you thinking about that, Christina?
Yes, that's true, Mark. And, you know, this was still in response to Philip's question. And can you imagine the personal relationship that Jesus had with Philip and all of the disciples? They spent 3 years with Jesus, and I know that they loved each other dearly. This reminds me of myself, you know, when I was a 23-year-old just coming to Christ, and God placed a couple in my life who had become my spiritual parents. They taught me, they loved me, they fed me. They took me with them to church and even on vacations, but they moved away to California. And I believe that God moved them because I was becoming more dependent on them than on God. And so we kind of see this with the relationship between Philip and the disciples and Jesus. But even though it broke my heart, and I was lost, God showed me that he was with me through his Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples that he would not leave them alone. How about that, Mark?
So in verse 17, he says, the world is unable to receive him because it does not see him or know him. And this is a reminder to me that the Holy Spirit is not a second blessing. That when one receives Jesus Christ in their life, at that very same time, the Holy Spirit is resident in your life. Why? Because they are one. And so, in fact, in Romans chapter 8, it says, whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ is none of him, none of his. And so It is just a reminder that the Holy Spirit comes in, is in our life at the moment we get saved. So we don't have to tarry or wait for the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not in us, we are not saved, because the Holy Spirit works the work of salvation in our lives through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's very important for us to remember, that to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, as it says in the book of Acts, is a passive, is written in the passive always. Baptized, be baptized, that's always in the passive. But to be filled, that's a whole nother issue, and that is active. So we have to work at being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's active. But when we receive Jesus Christ, we also receive or are baptized with his Holy Spirit. That's always in the passive voice. Any other thoughts on that, Christina?
Mark, hopefully that brings clarity to that issue about baptism and being filled. I've seen so many mistakes made related to the filling, the baptism that we receive when we're saved and when we're filled as we serve and minister. There we go, Mark.
All right. So the first section is to know the Son is to know the Father. The second, to have Jesus is to have the Holy Spirit. And then the third one just kind of wraps it all up. The Holy Spirit continues the works of Christ. Why is the Holy Spirit in us? Because he continues the works of Christ. Let me read verses 23 through 26. Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. The word that I hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you." So this is great as a reminder that the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not just for the worship experience. It's not just to make us feel good. It is not even just so we have somebody who's along with us at every moment. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to continue the work of Jesus Christ. How do you see that, Christina?
And you know, Mark, Jesus demonstrated that point right here in these few verses. It seems as if he was teaching a little lesson there about love. You know, like a little Sunday school lesson. And then he said, but then who will teach these? Who will teach you when I'm gone? Is what he was saying in essence. And he says, I've spoken these things to you. But he said, but the Counselor, he told the disciples, and he tells us for that matter, that we will have the Holy Spirit to teach us. The Holy Spirit will plant those truths in our mind and heart. It will be an enabling and convicting power of the Spirit that teaches and guides us. That's what I saw in this, Mark.
Great. So two things. One, I would say that this is a reminder to us that to have the Spirit of God in our lives means that we ought to be living out the mandate of Jesus Christ and completing his work in this world. Verse 24, the one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine, but of the Father. And so if we don't know him, if we can't say we know him and not live and not be living out his word through our lives. There are lots of times when people will say, oh, I know Jesus, but they're not living out the Jesus life in their lives. They're still doing their own thing, going their own way, doing a lot of things the Bible would tell us we ought not do. And so this is a reminder to us that it's not good enough just to say we have Jesus in our lives, but the evidence of Jesus being in our lives is that the Holy Spirit is in our lives and controlling our lives, and we continue the work of Christ in this world. What are your thoughts, Christina?
Amen. And in so many ways, we have received an invitation to join this threesome, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because Christ lives in us. And so, as you said, Mark, we should be living out those mandates. As Jesus is the Father and the Holy Spirit works, does the works of Jesus, and then the Spirit lives in us, that is awesome. That gives me a little chill bumps there. Praise God for that.
All right, so this is a lesson on the nature of God. Always remember that to know the Son is to know the Father. To have Jesus in our lives is to have the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to continue the work of Christ in this world. This is a great foundational lesson for everything we're going to talk about in this study over the next several weeks. And I'm so glad that you joined us for this time. So if you're a Sunday school teacher, I want you to hold on just a moment, because we're going to have a special 1 minute teaching tip that you won't want to miss. But I just want to remind everybody that we really need our small groups working, our Sunday school groups, our Bible study groups, because they are so vital in times like this for our people to feel connected and to really dig into the Word of God for their own lives. And so you can get the U Bible study at lifeway.com/YOU, lifeway.com/YOU. It is designed for us and by us. It's our urban multicultural study. It is available in paper and in a new digital format. It aligns with the Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum, so there's something for every age. And so please make sure you get that, because it's going to be a blessing for every one of your Sunday school classes. All right, Christina, come on and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, Mark, our teaching tip for today is encourage attendance. You know, we're beginning this new unit of study, and this is always a fantastic time to contact your learners, the group members in your class, and to break out that prospect file. This study on the essentials of Christianity will appeal to a wide variety of people, believers and unbelievers. So take time to email the information about this study and encourage members to attend. And then ask them to share the information that you're sending them, to ask them to share this information with someone else, and invite that person to come. Okay, Mark.
All right, that's great. You know, in these days in which we live, people are hearing from all kinds of sources and they're believing all kinds of things. That's why this study on the nature of God is so very important. It's going to be a blessing to you and a blessing to the class you teach. Join us again next week for our next study as we continue in the Word of God, friend. You never know where God will take you.